This morning I would like to say about how we can use just the self filled with selfishness. Yesterday I mentioned everyone is very selfish, but we cannot escape this self-centered ideas. The point is how we should use this kind of self who has lots of selfishness. This is our practice, and the Buddhism always mentions about this. Instead of denying or destroying the self. So this is also Buddhist practice and also Zen practice, Dogen Zen dimensions constantly. Open to not only the priest, but also to everyone, wherever you may be. This is very important for us. In the sutra, Samyutta Nikaya, if you read this sutra, it is a very interesting stories. When exalted one was once at Savatthi in India, the king, the Kosalan Pasanari, happened to be upon the upper terrace of his palace with Malika, the queen, and he asked her, "Is there now anyone dearer, Malika, to you than the soul?" "There is no one, sir, dearer to me than my soul. And to you, sir, is there anyone dearer than your soul?" "Nor to me either, Malika, is there anyone dearer than my soul?" Then King went down from the terrace and sought the exalted one and told him of this talk. And the exalted one, understanding the matter uttered in that hour, this verse: "The whole wide world we traverse with our thought, and nothing find to man more dearer than soul. Since A-Y-E, so dear the soul to others is. Let the soul lover harm no other man." This is very interesting, the story in the beginning of the Buddhism, while Buddha was there. It's very simple. Simple answer to one of the very usual human problem we can see now. The thinking this story, I think you can know pretty well who is, who loves best, who love best in this world? Seriously, if you consider this point, I think you can find the fact that you love yourself the best in this world. No one else. In many ways, whatever you say about this self, small self or big self, whatever you say, anyway, there is a fact that you really love yourself the best in this world. If it is true, anyway, don't harm others, who have same the self as you have. That is an answer, the Buddha's answer, very simple answer. And also Buddha mentions in the sutra, the Anguttara Nikaya also says, but who words, W-A-R-D, but who words self, his upward to is worded. Hence, word thyself, digging no pit. Otherwise, E-E-R, how can you call pronounce? E-dash, not that, apostrophe. E-apostrophe-E-R. Air-wise. Who words self, his upward to is worded. Anywhere word the self. If you want to word self, I think the others also should be worded. So hence, word thyself, digging no pit. You can't criticize others because you love yourself so much. So you love yourself so much means you protect, you ward yourself. If so, Buddha mentioned don't harm others. To ward yourself is to ward others. So next, Buddha also mentions identify yourself with others. As I, so they. Hence, kill not, nor cause to kill. So identify yourself with others. I think this self is not only the small self. Of course, in the beginning, it's very selfish. But anyway, you have to realize through and through what this self is. How strongly you love yourself. This is selfish in many ways. So from this point, I always think the Buddha mentions you should practice thoroughgoing self-establishment. Don't practice halfway. Halfway self-establishment. Self-establishment means a self which you have to establish the self and from which your activity takes place. That is a self-establishment. Self is, you know, most important creature. Because you can realize who you are and simultaneously who others are. And also from that, many kind of activities, they anyway take place. So self is very important for us. So Buddha constantly teaches us, please practice the thoroughgoing self-establishment. In order to do this, the self you can realize is not a small self. That self must be open to anyone's. So that self you have realized must be the same self as others. So you have to extend the realization of the self into everyone's. That's why he says, who words the self, his outward means others. Okay? His outward too is worded. Not only human beings, but the inanimate being too. Okay? Hence, word yourself digging no pit. Usually we word ourselves. Okay? In sacrifice of somebody else. to word yourself is, that means that you can get the benefit and after the sacrifice of others. But you can actualize this practice by virtue of, what to say, cooperation with others. You can actualize the thoroughgoing self-establishment by virtue of working together, cooperation with others, very close cooperation, okay? Closely working together. This is not the Dogen Zenji mentions always in a bento ho you have known already, but it is not his ideas. This is already Buddha's idea. If you read the Sthanipada, it's already said in that way. For instance, he said, Buddha mentions, learn solitude and attendance on the wise. That the way of the wise is to live in solitude is taught. If in solitude, you can take joy. Solitude is the many meaning. In the Indian, solitude is to live in solitude, apart from the worldly affair, living in a forest. It was very clear. But in Mahayana, solitude is anywhere to walk alone, just like the unicorn I mentioned in the past. The sutra also mentions walk like the unicorn means wherever you may be, you must walk alone anyway. If you can walk alone like a unicorn, then you can, from that level, deep level of human life, you can find a way to cooperate with people. Because that self, who is walking alone like a unicorn, is exactly the same as other self. So very naturally, you can word yourself and simultaneously you can word others. So you can cooperate. So in the Zen Buddhism, particularly Dogen Zenji always mentions Zazen and also attending the teacher. That these two way in the monastery. It's important. In the beginning of the Buddhism, Buddha mentions a little bit different. So-called learn the solitude. Solitude means zazen anyway. Zazen is exactly living in solitude. Being in solitary, exactly, you become alone, like a unicorn. So, Buddha mentions in a different way, so-called learn the solitude and attendance of the wise. So, one side is you should learn solitude, doing something exactly. When you walk on the street, you do zazen anyway. Spirit of zazen must be extended into walking. That time you can practice, you can learn solitude. On the other hand, you have to learn the attendance on the wise. This is not teaching. This is not teaching in word. This is a kind of the actual practice you have to get from the person anyway. In the monastery, when I was in the monastery, I have lots of interesting stories. One story is that when I became an anja to Kanin means the director of a AH monastery, who was a little tiny guy, you know, old, 70 at that time, he was 75. Very tiny, but very tough person, very tough. And very gentle. So I became an anja to him. So if you become an anja in a monastery, anja was very busy from the morning to end. Before all monks get up, anja had to get up earlier. Because when the Roshi get up immediately, I have to go there and take care of his cushions and zabutons and the sleeping bag, etc. Anyway, I have to fold the sleeping bag and put it in the closet. And I have to take care of washing the face, you know. So many things I have to do very quickly. So I have to get up in the earlier than the monks get up. And also I wanted to wash his clothes, dirty clothes, underwear, socks, etc. So I tried to find his dirty clothes, you know, here and there, and open the drawers, and etc. And then he came back from the morning service, and he found, you know, something funny in the room, because he was a very neat guy, you know. Everything is very clear, you know. Top drawers is something, the second drawer is something he knows. He knows everything. And then bottom level is, anyway, dirty clothes, etc. Okay. But I didn't know that. So what I wanted was just to wash the clothes. Anyway, so open the door, open the drawers, and a little bit messy situation there. Then he came back from the morning service. Immediately he said, "What's happened?" And he says, "What would say? You cannot tsunami is don't do unnecessary things." You know, I didn't understand why he says. And what happened? He said, "What happened?" So don't do unnecessary things. So I asked him, I wanted to wash your clothes, but he didn't say, "Here it is." He didn't say anything. So I stopped washing clothes because he said, don't do that, simply speaking, you know. So I didn't. And just cleaning the rooms and the hibachis and serve the teas and anyway, sometimes they give a massage. So. And then one day he also scolded me, "You didn't wash my clothes." Lots of dirty clothes they wash. Yeah. So I said, you said to me you shouldn't do it. That's why I didn't. But he didn't answer to this, to my questions. He said, "Wash." That's it. Wash this cross. That's it. So I realized at that time, aha. You know, first time he said, "You shouldn't do it." But second time, "You should do it." What shall I do? That means I realized, aha, I should learn where is the dirty clothes is, where is the juban is, underwear is, where is the kimono is, where is the lacoste is, where is his socks is. I should learn. Anyway, do you understand? He didn't explain. But I am an angel. I am, and I have to attend him, attend his everyday life. I'm not wife, I'm not, you know, servant, but I have to understand his life. Where the juban is here, and the cup is here, and everything. Anyway, I have to learn his life, even though he doesn't say. And then, I can do it. You know, instead of missing everything, you know, so I can draw the bottom of the bottom drawers. I can put, you know, I can find the dirty clothes from the bottom for drawers. I can do it. And then from after that, I washed his clothes. He didn't say anything. That's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, I learned the very important point. Usually, I always the people always look at the person in terms of my position, my situation, so-called selfish ideas. You know, I comes first, and then I look at, you know, his little tiny guy, you know, and then always I comes first. And I try to put his life into my life. And this is very common, don't you think so? So very naturally, if you do it, you cannot learn his life. So attending, the practice of attendance on the Roshi in the age monastery or whatever, anyway, my life must be completely observed into his life and devote my subsists to him. That's exactly. Instead of watching or looking at, you know, in terms of my viewpoint. Okay. So, usually we do something only when he says such and such. Okay? Do you understand? You know, I always say that I don't say anything, but anyway, you always say, you don't tell me. You don't tell me, that's why I don't say, I don't do. I don't understand what you are thinking. It's very clear. If I don't say anything, you don't understand who I am. So I have to say. But even though you don't say, even though I don't say anything, you still, there is a way to learn who I am. Okay? Don't you, is that, do you understand? Do you understand? No. But what? I always say, do you understand? And somebody says it's kind of authentic, powerful authority. So I don't use it in that way, but because my language problem is, I have a language problem, that's why I try to check yourself. Even I have a language problem, do you understand what I said? Even a little bit, okay? So that's why I say, I make sure, what to make sure. That's my feeling. That's why I say, do you understand? But somebody told me that that is a power of authority, you know, pushing. I don't think so. It's very interesting. So I must be careful anyway. this is not the monastic life. This, if you want to really practice self-establishment, anyway, you have to serve. You have to, anyway, devote your services to somebody else. Okay? In other words, working together, cooperating with somebody, sharing your life with somebody. How can you share your life with somebody else? Okay? You don't believe in that way. You always say that is a Japanese monastic way. No, I don't think so. This is a human life. Okay? For instance, have a baby and mother. Okay? Baby's life is just a cry every day. Okay? No particular expression. Can't you understand? Can't you understand what he is thinking? Okay? Because he is always crying. He doesn't say anything in the world. I'm hungry, or I'm sleepy, I'm stomachy. He doesn't say, just a cry. But how can you take care of baby if you don't understand? Baby doesn't say anything, that's why I don't understand what the baby said. Baby's happens, you know. How can you take care of baby? But mothers, you are already grown up like this. Who take care of you? Mother, parents. How can the mother and the parents, father, understand the baby? Do you? The mother, particularly mother, understand the baby's feeling or thinking behind the cry. He doesn't say anything, but just a cry, which is no word, but behind crying, she understands completely what he wants to do. So beyond the word, you have to understand the baby's life, and then you can take care of, you can share your life with the babies. Okay? That is called working together, okay? Share, cooperating with somebody else. Then you can really establish the self, which is exactly the same as other self, baby's self. Then what is the self of the mother's self? What is the baby's self? Exactly the same. Now I had a nice friend when I was college. And the friends every day, almost every day, gathers with a friend of mine named Yoko Hiroshi, who was my best friend, and also he was my teacher. I lived with him for 5 years when I was college. And then the friends came to his house, and almost every day. But we didn't do something particular. Anyway, they loved so much to visit. They visited his house and sit with him and talk with him. Sometimes having a lunch and the dinners and chatting each other at all. But very nice, you know, our friends. One day, we started to talk about the teacher and the disciples, you know, through my experience and also through one of the friends' experience. I said my experience, you know, in the relation with my teacher when I was at my temple. So I said this experience. You know, my teacher didn't teach me anything. He was very quiet, but he devoted himself to take care of everyday routine. That's it, you know. He didn't tell me anything. So he just like a stream of river going. Whatever I do, he knows. He knows what I do. Okay? But he didn't say anything. So I complained once, you know. One big complaint is I wanted to give up monk. Because I had the two reasons. I had the two reasons. One is very boring. Because I have a lot of energies to learn, to study, anything, but every day, nothing. Every day was very busy, anyway. Busy enough to take care of. But I was exhausted, not physically. Physically, I have lots of energy to do. Because 18, you know, I have lots of energy, but psychologically, I was completely exhausted, which was exactly the same as fatigue when I came to the United States. Same exhaustion. Physically, it doesn't matter. But mentally, I was really exhausted. So, because it is boring, you know, he didn't teach me anything. But physically, I am busy, so no time to study and etc. So that means boring for me, because I wanted to be monk. I want to be study anyway. Second reason was I am curious. I was curious of Jodo Shinshu, in a Jodo Shinshu Pyoran school, chanting the name of Ram Tower when I was learned it in my childhood, because my family was the Jodo Shinshu, belonging to the Jodo Shinshu Pyoran school. So every day, since my childhood, I practiced chanting the name of Mam Tower pretty easily, automatically, smoothly. Even now, I can do it, you know. So I was very curious of it. And Zen Buddhism, I hate it anyway. So reason is boring, and I am curious in since school. Then I taught him, I want to give up. The monk, he said, he didn't scold me,
Anyway, he said, wherever you, oh, okay. Where, and then he said, wherever you may go, everything is the same. That is very big shock for me. I didn't notice it. Wherever I may go, everything is the same. What does it mean? I always expected something different from this boring situation, you know. So I wanted to do something different, you know. But he said, wherever you may go, everything is the same. Big punch, you know. So I thought at that time, if everything is same, why not? Where should I go? No place to go. So I decided to be here. But just be here. For instance, sometimes you have this kind of experience. Should I go to the San Francisco? Should I go to Minneapolis? Should I go to somewhere, etc. You know. So finally, no matter how long you discuss what should I do, no some conclusion. That time you must be here. You know? Be here. Here doesn't mean not Minneapolis, okay? Not San Francisco. Here means right now. That's it. That's pretty good for us because nowhere to go. Only the here every day is open to anyone. That's Buddha's compassion. It's wonderful. You can do it. So I realized, well, this is the best way. Not best way. I didn't feel the best way. This is best way. But if there is nowhere to go, maybe I should be here. So I give up. But it was very big shot, big punch. I told this experience to the friends, and then Yokoi was here, loudly at me, and he said, how idiot you are. Yes, I am. I was really idiot, because I always look at the teacher from my viewpoint, you know. Instead of attending or devote my services to him. No, I didn't. I always look at him from my viewpoint. So how can I take care of him? How can I cooperate with him? No cooperation. No sense of cooperation between us. So he does always himself. And the other reason I told him, you didn't teach me at all. That's why I want to give up. You know? So he said, why not you ask me? Why didn't you ask me? Well, this is also, do you understand? I told him, you didn't teach me at all. That's why I want to give up. So he said, why didn't you ask me? You know, this kind of teaching is really wonderful, you know. It's not, you can learn this teaching from the scripture, no. It's really from the devoting your full services to somebody else. And that time you can learn this one. Because I always look at teacher from my viewpoints. That's why I am always complaining. Then that's why Yokoi says how idiot I am. Yes, I am really idiot. And the other, you know, the friend, one of my friends also told his experience. That was a little bit completely different from me. He was very smart. Wherever he may be, he always trying to do something wonderful, you know. Even though teacher didn't teach him, it doesn't matter. He always doing something, establishing his life. And then he became a monk under the one of the famous Zen teachers, you know, Sawaki Roshi. He was really energetic and teacher and who was completely different from Hashimoto Roshi and Kitzuzawa Roshi, completely different. So very practical and also very energetic and very strict, you know. So this friend always, and he became a monk after after experiencing many religions, you know, Buddhism, Christianity, Catholic, and he studied. He became a teacher of Catholicism and church, you know, Catholic. And Nichiren and Amitabha, he studied, and he experienced lots of things. And finally, he became a Zen monk. He found this Zen teacher, and he became a Zen monk. So he was really curious of studying Zen. So every day, whenever he met him, my friends always asking, talking with him, trying to get something to do. The teacher says, "You are too noisy, shut up." "You are too noisy, shut up." That's it. You know, that is completely different from me. You know, my teacher didn't teach me anything at all. So I complained and then give up. But his way, lifestyle was completely different from me. Whatever situation he might be, he always creating his life. Do you understand that one? And then teacher says, "You're too noisy. Shut up." That's it. You know, this is very interesting. Both my lifestyle and his lifestyle, if you compare, his lifestyle seems to be good, but exactly the same, you know? Because he is always looking at the teacher from his viewpoint. And he wanted to squeeze him up to death. Unconsciously or consciously. Anyway, he has a lot of energy and to learn what the Buddhism is. And to, anyway, he got the nice teacher who was one of the famous Zen teacher in Japan those days. So he really wanted. So anyway, every day he wanted to squeeze him out anyway to death in order to be a good monk. That is a greedy. Greedy. So how can he cooperate with his life? No way. That's why he said, "You are too noisy, shut up. You know? Shut up. Why don't you cooperate with teacher's life? Be quiet. Cooperate." This is pretty good. Because "you are too noisy, shut up" means exactly that greedy desires cut off, you know. And then the boss is exactly the same, you know. But while he was very noisy and tried to get something from him, at that time teacher is always far from him, looking at the teacher in terms from his viewpoints. That's why he cannot see the teacher's life. He understands only the teacher which teacher mentioned. He never understands behind his life before he explained. So if you want to serve, if you want to devote your services to somebody else, anyway, you have to learn. You have to know something behind the words, behind the explanation by somebody else. Anyway, you have to learn. means you have to share. At that time, it is called cooperation. You can really cooperate with somebody. Do you understand? It's not only teacher and disciple, parents and the children, and also boyfriend, girlfriend. Anyway, how much you can explain the love, how much you love in somebody else. You cannot always explain. Even though you don't explain, anyway, both of them, anyway, understand pretty well. And then you can cooperate. You can live together. But always if you have to explain how much you love, and then try to cooperate, that is really rigid. You know, always create some crazy and noise, you know, creaking noise between us. Because it's very apparently that relationship is very neat and clear, but I don't think it is. The life is going smoothly. It's very making, always creating creaking sound. Because both of them try not to understand something unexplainable behind both of them. We have to understand somebody else. Anyway, something else. Even though they don't say anything, anyway, we have to learn. Is that clear? What I want to say? And then you can cooperate, just like a baby and a mother, just like a children and father. And children and mother, particularly mother, understand pretty well what the little kids think before he explains. Because the children is very simple expressions. Even though he doesn't explain, he lives with the mother for a long time. Anyway, mother knows everything before kids explain. Then, at that time, human beings can be grown within total cooperation with mother, with children. At that time, this is called education. We say education. By education, we should grow. We should help the growth of human beings. We should help the growth of human beings and also all sentient beings. This is a cooperation. This is the practice of attendance in the monastery, always. Okay? That's why Zazen is important, but on the other hand, practice of attendance is very important for us. Without practice of attendance, you don't understand the Buddhism anyway. You don't understand Buddhism is you don't understand the human life, spirit of human life, anyway. That's why in the Buddha mentions you should learn, you should learn the solitude, how to live alone, how to be present with the spiritual security wherever you may be. In the human society, or at your room, and walking, and wash your face, whatever you do, how can you be present alone with spiritual security? This is a learning solitude. On the other hand, how can you learn this solitude in the human society? We have to learn attendance. How to attend, how to devote your services to society, to people, how to share your life with people. This is a monastery. Dogen Zenji mentions this is a monastery, thick forest. This is anyway in practice of attendance. Okay? So Zazen and simultaneously practice of attendance. This is very important. In the United States, it seems to me that the Zazen is always emphasized. So wherever you may go, you can talk to Zazen. But a little bit lack of this spirit, attendance. People doesn't understand. People don't understand spirit of attendance, sharing their life with the people. What do you mean? Full cooperation. It's not Dogen Zenji's way. It's Buddha's way. It's a human life's way. And if you read the Nirvana Sutra, Buddhist Nirvana Sutra, he mentions So he speaks to Brahman Vasakara, Brahman Vasakara, the prime minister of Magadha, and said, "Come now, Brahman, do you go to the blessed one and bow down in adoration at his feet on my behalf and inquire in my name whether he is free from illness and suffering and in the enjoyment of ease and comfort and vigorous health." That means greeting. Greeting is expressed like this. "Then tell him that the Agatasattu, son of the Verihi, the king of Magadha, in his eagerness to attack the Vagians, has resolved, I will root out these Vagians, mighty and powerful though they be. I will destroy these Vagians. I will bring these Vagians to utter ruin, and bear carefully in mind whatever the blessed one may predict, and repeat it to me, for the Buddhas speak nothing untrue." That's very interesting. One king really wanted to destroy the country, somebody, a nation. But before he want to do, he sent his attendant to Buddha, ask what Buddha feel, what Buddha think about this issue. That's interesting, isn't it? Then the Brahman Vasakara, the hearkened. H-E-A-R-K-E-N-E-D, to the words of the king, saying, "Be it as you say," and ordering a number of magnificent carriages to be made ready. He mounted one of them, left Ragagaha with his train, and went to the Vulture's Peak. Riding as far as the ground was passable for carriages, and then alighting and proceeding on foot to the place where the blessed one was. On arriving there, he exchanged with the blessed one the greetings and compliments of friendship and severity, sat down respectfully by his side, and then delivered to him the message even as the king had commanded. Then now delivered the king's message. Now, at that time, the Venerable Ananda was standing behind the Blessed One. So, the Ananda was the attendant. at that time. So he stood behind the Buddha. Now listen to that story. Okay. And the maybe messenger asked the Buddha, what do you think about this, you know, the issue? Okay. So now at that time, Venerable Ananda was standing behind the Blessed One and fanning him, you know, attendant of his fan, fanned the Buddha, from the, because in India was hot, you know. And the Blessed One said to him, have you heard, Ananda, that the Vagyans hold full and frequent public assemblies? Lord, so I have heard, replied he. So long, Ananda, rejoined the Blessed One, as the Vagyans hold these full and frequent public assemblies, so long may they be expected not to decline but to prosper. He mentions almost seven items like this. How Vagyans takes care of his life, their life, and how to communicate each other, how to share their life with the people together through full and public assemblies, pretty often. That means cooperation, real meaning of cooperation with the people. Okay? So he mentions what kind of cooperations with, you know, peoples. So he's mentioned seven. Okay. Almost seven, almost repeating almost the same things. One more thing, let me read. And in like manner, questioning the Ananda and receiving a similar reply, the Blessed One declared as follows the other conditions which would ensure the welfare of the Vagyans. Vagyan confederacy. So long, Ananda, as the Vagyans meet together in concord and rise in concord and carry out their undertaking in concord, so long as they enact nothing not already established and abrogate, nothing that has been already enacted and act in accordance with the ancient institutions of Vagyans as established in former days, so long as they honor and esteem and revere and support the Vagyans elders and hold it a point of duty to hearken to their words, so long as no women or girls belonging to their clans are detained among them by force or abduction. So long as they honor and esteem and revere and support the Vagyan shrines in town or country, and allow not the proper offerings and rites as formerly given and performed to fall into desuetude. Desuetude. So long as the rightful protection, defense and support shall be fully provided for the arhats among them, so that arhats from a distance may enter the realm and arhats therein may live at ease. So long may the Vagyans be expected not to decline but to prosper. This is very interesting. The Buddha was asked by messenger about the about the issue of attacking somebody else, but Buddha didn't mention immediately no. Buddha mentioned about how vagyas live. That's interesting. Step by step, 1.1. The main point is vagyas always has, anyway, a full and public assembly, working together, sharing their life with the people anyway. This is the reason which you can't attack him. You should prosper, help them. Because this is human way to grow, to develop in peace and harmony. If you do it, your life, anyway, society develop, prosper. That's why Buddha mentions corporations very important in the Nirvana Sutra. Okay? It's not Dogen's ideas. It's not particular idea. This is not only the Buddhistic way. This is very universal. But if people don't know how to live in peace and harmony, that's why the Buddha has to show. Buddha has to teach. And we have to learn what is the real meaning of cooperation, not only through the teaching, but also through the living person. Okay? In other words, everydayness, through the everydayness, you have to learn what is a real cooperation with the people. What do you mean to share? But if you try to share your life with the people, always looking in terms of your viewpoint, you cannot share. So that's why I mentioned this point, giving the example, my example and my friend's examples. Consciously or unconsciously, we don't realize how selfish we are. Okay? You should realize this one. But if you serve, if you anyway devote your full services to the teacher, teachers show us in that way. It's very nice, even though you don't understand. At that time, you are angry sometimes. But it is pretty good for us. Okay? So, that is how to use the self who has lots of egoistic for all sentient beings. So that's why you have to share your life. Okay? And then you can really practice thoroughgoing self-establishment from which you are really alive, the activities in aliveness, okay, take place. For this, anyway, you have to adjust your life because you have to learn the other's life, okay? So you have to adjust yourself. You have to bring yourself. You have to bring the peace and the harmony to your life, okay? Even though you want to do this way or that way, you have to anyway adjust yourself because you have to learn others. That is Dogen Zenji mentions, take others across the river first. Okay. This is the Mahayana spirit. Take others across the river first. That is a bodhisattva spirit. Then there is simultaneously nothing but the practice of thoroughgoing self-establishment. But usually we practice halfway self-establishment because you feel enjoy always. While you feel enjoy, at that time you never establish thoroughgoing self-establishment. No. So you have to go through many things. Okay? And then you can realize
how to use the self to all, for all sentient beings.